This episode is brought to you by Purina and their certified therapy dogs like Hanley. Say hi, Hanley! Hanley is one of 30 therapy dogs Purina has helped get certified to support kids struggling with their mental health. Purina employees are volunteering their time and family pets like Hanley to help make pet therapy more accessible to patients, students, and kids like me. Learn more about Purina's pet therapy program at purina.com/mentalhealth.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Boilermaker fans, for Indiana fans, it's a little bit different. Indiana really needs to figure out how to bridge the gap between where they are and where Purdue is. So that work begins today. In fact, it's already begun. But Purdue, really, really good all season long. The best team easily in the Big Ten. And the team that had the chance to give UConn the most trouble, they didn't, because they didn't do what was necessary to be able to win. And that was shoot threes and shoot them accurately. They chose just to feed Edie and feed Edie and feed Edie. And Edie was never going to be enough to be able to beat UConn. UConn is too balanced, too good defensively, and too well coached to beat without a really good performance from beyond the arc. And Purdue just didn't kind of make the effort to do that. And so Purdue goes down by 15. I told you yesterday it was going to be 12. If Purdue had made the three toward the end of the game, it would have been 12. So I blame Purdue for me not being exactly right. We're going to talk about those changes that Indiana needs to make in order to get to where Purdue is at, if Indiana is even capable of doing that. Isaiah, thank you very much. Good morning, Isaiah. You feel rejuvenated. Is that because Purdue lost, or is that because you saw the totality of the solar eclipse yesterday? Which one? Thank you for the donation, by the way. We're going to talk about the Colts and the draft, the NFL draft coming up in just 16 days. Going to talk about the portal and how Indiana is using the portal, trying to use the portal in order to fill scholarships with players who can compete at the Big Ten level and the national level. We'll talk about the Pacers and the Raptors. That game tonight, 7 o'clock. And really, the Pacers need to win out. That's the key. Win out, a lot of really good things can happen. And one of those good things is they could get to the 3 seed if they win out. Now, if they win out, they will not be the 6th seed. And if you're not the 3, you'd like to be the 6. But you don't want to be the 7th, and the 76ers are coming. Are you confused? You're like me in calculus. Like, what? Why do I need to know any of this? Let's just wait to the end of the season and see where the Pacers are seated before we go crazy with all the math. Yes. Women's National Championship drew more viewers than the men did last night. We don't know how many the men did, but because it was on TBS and TNT, there's no way that that game was going to outdraw the women's game, which was on ABC and ESPN. Really a spectacular result for the women. But people watching women's basketball is a really, really good thing, because women's basketball is awesome. I've thought that since high school. I used to go to high school games, just loved going to the women's games. Watching the girls play, they were as competitive as the guys, and they seem to have a joy in their game that the guys just don't. And so I like watching women's basketball, and if you do too, good for you. All right, let's talk about Purdue. But first, this is Breakfast with Kent for Tuesday, April 9th, 2024, brought to you by the great people at MyBookie. MyBookie's awesome. You go to MyBookie and you enter promo code Kent, and you are eligible for a sign-up bonus of up to $1,000. That's winning before you even play. MyBookie, where you can bet on anything, anytime, from anywhere. MyBookie's awesome. Want to remind you, all you have to do is subscribe and DM me your email address, and you could win an Our Lads draft guide. It's about 100 pages of really good, in-depth stuff about players who are going to be selected 16 nights from tonight. What are the Colts going to do? We're going to find out. We're going to talk about that. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what the Colts do. There are people who suggest and are projecting that the Colts are going to trade up in the draft to 12. We'll see. I think that's going to be really, really interesting. I don't think that the Colts are going to trade up. Ballard loves them picks. He didn't trade up in the first round. The cost is too prohibitive. The Colts are not one player away from winning a Super Bowl. And trading up, man, that's punitive. So anyway, not going to give up a third to move up three spots. You're just not. We'll talk about that a little bit. Want to remind you that you got to subscribe, for goodness sake. And you have to hit the thumbs up icon to like the video, which is just the polite thing to do. Not just this video, but any video on YouTube. If you watch it, hit the thumbs up. It's a nice thing to do for the people who create those videos and work hard to do it. You want to make a donation? Make a donation. Good on you for making a donation like Isaiah did. And then I get this cool little graphic with your comment in the box, and we'll share it with the class. That's what we do. All right, let's talk about the game last night. 75-60, UConn wins. So the under hit. My prediction was UConn by 12. I saw it. I didn't think there was any way, because of the defense of UConn, I didn't think there was any way that Purdue was going to be able to win. What they were going to do and did was feed the ball down low to Edie, because you have an advantage with Edie over Klingon, at least on that end of the floor. And so you feed Edie. They fed Edie last night, 37 points, but 37 points wasn't going to be enough. He missed 10 of those shots. And by missing 10 shots, he left 20 points on the board. And you can't have that. What you needed to do last night was hit threes. Purdue didn't. They were 1 of 7 from beyond the arc. There is no chance, zero chance, that you're going to beat UConn taking 7 threes and hitting one. No chance whatsoever. The last team that beat UConn hit 14 of 28, and that was Creighton. You've got to go to work creating open looks from beyond the arc and then knock them down to be able to beat UConn. Obviously, Purdue didn't. The halves were remarkably similar. UConn won the first half 36-30, second half 39-30. There was no moment. I felt bad. Like, you get stoked for a game like that. Mackey had 12,000 people in it last night watching that game. And for the people who watched, they had almost no hope whatsoever from the end of the first half through the end of the game. Purdue, you know what, down 6 at half, you thought maybe there's a window, but you felt like that 6 was insurmountable. Right, that UConn was just grinding and grinding and grinding and grinding in a way that Purdue wasn't going to be able to answer. Which brings us to the next point. What is the difference between Indiana basketball and Purdue basketball as it exists right now and UConn basketball? And Zach Edey in the answer and Klingon in the answer. The answer is consistent effort over 40 minutes. Indiana never this past season never played hard for 40 minutes. And I think you can say that for the entirety of the Mike Woodson era at Indiana. They never go to work for 40 minutes. They'll play well for 8, 10, 12 minutes at a time and hope that that's enough. But they never grind it out for 40 like Purdue or UConn do. That's how you win championships. That's how you play championship-level basketball. Indiana does not do it. You've got to go out and get guys who can grind for 40 and then lead others to grind for 40, because the players at Indiana right now don't know what grinding for 40 is. So that's the gap that you've got to breach in order for Indiana to play this level of basketball. Balanced scoring for UConn was really deleterious for Purdue. Who do you stop? Do you stop Newton, who had 20 last night? Do you stop Klingon? Who do you stop? And when you stop those guys, somebody's going to hit a three and make it really difficult on you. You know, whether it's Castle or Spencer, you know, those guys, that team, utterly selfless. They don't care who gets the points. Nobody operates outside the flow of that offense ever. And that's how you win a game against a really good team, by 15 points. That's how you do it. UConn competed for all 40 minutes. And Purdue, what are they going to be without Zach Edey? That's an interesting question. They are going to, they've got these guys, they got Smith coming back, Braden Smith, they got Trey Kaufman-Wren coming back, they got Fletcher Lawyer coming back. You would assume none of these guys will transfer. Heidi, First, Colvin, all coming back. The rest, goners. Morton, who I think is an important cultural guy within that program. Kind of a forgotten guy on the court this past year, but I don't think he's forgotten as far as his contribution off the court. Edey, obviously, you lose. You lose Jones, the transfer from Southern Illinois. That's a lot to lose, but they got a lot coming back. What you've really got to hope is that Will Berg develops as the next Edey. Who thought that Edey was going to be Edey, right? You had Isaac Haas. Right, and then you had the other guy come in, the other big galoot, and then you've got Edey, and Edey is a guy who I think transformed himself and became the best version of himself as a basketball player, and now he's cycling out. Can Will Berg come in and replace him at a high level and keep this continuity of bigs sort of rolling for Purdue? We'll find out. So UConn, by the way, loses Newton, Spencer, Diarra. Klingon is expected to go in the lottery. Castle in the lottery. So we'll see what happens with UConn. But they're going to reload, and their culture is really the thing. Like, Newton is not that talented a guy. Newton's not otherworldly. He's not Dillingham from Kentucky. He's a guy who understood how to play UConn basketball UConn's way, Danny Hurley's way. And so we'll see what that winds up being. I think they're going to miss these guys. You win two national championships, the guys who graduate out, they're going to be missed. And the guys who jump to the draft are going to be missed. Speaking of the draft, the NFL draft just 16 days away. Here's what we know about your Indianapolis Colts. Quarterback's a position of need, which means that they're unlikely to take one in the first round because that's not what Ballard does. Unless the position of need happens to be the position that bubbles to the top of Ballard's draft board with a 15th overall pick. I will not believe for a single minute that the Colts are going to trade up. I just don't see it. One guy, Chris Trapasso, he's got the Colts trading up to 12, executing a trade with the Broncos, and taking Dallas Turner, the edge, from Bama. You've got another one trading up to 12, and they're taking Brock Bowers. I don't think that the Colts are going to take Brock Bowers. That would be a weird pick because the Colts have really got five tight ends. And if you count Ogletree, they got five of these guys, and they think that the aggregate of those five equals one who's really good. Now, Steichen's a guy who's operated well with a tight end doing a lot of the heavy lifting. And so maybe Steichen will talk to Ballard and say, look, I need this guy. I need him. Maybe that happens. We'll see. Edge, if they take an edge, if they take a guy like Dallas Turner, that likely means that they're not going to exercise the fifth-year option on Quiddy Pay, which would be an odd decision anyway to exercise the fifth-year option. We'll see if they do it. I mean, Ballard likes his own, and Ballard likes to reward the guys who show promise. But my God, we've seen 3 years of Quiddy Pay. I think we know what Quiddy Pay is and what he's going to be. He's a versatile guy who's good at everything and great at nothing. And you need an edge who's great at getting to the opposing quarterback. Two ways you win in the NFL. One, you keep your quarterback upright so he can deliver the ball downfield. The other, you pressure the living hell out of the opposing quarterback so he makes mistakes, reading too quickly and delivering the ball to you. Going all Newman. What Newman was to the Postal Service on Seinfeld, you're hoping the opposing quarterback is for you. Mistakes in delivery. The portal. You know what? You've got Connor Hickman, who's going to make his visit on Sunday. He's from Bloomington South, he graduated from there, so he knows the campus quite well already. Miles Rice, point guard from Washington State, he's going to visit. Aaron Bradshaw, the 7'1 kid from the University of Kentucky, does he fit Indiana or what? 7'1, underperformed at Kentucky. You know, same thing happened. You got Khalil Ware as sort of the prototype guy that that Bradshaw wants to become. So that's something that is going to be attractive to Bradshaw about Indiana. Indiana's got a track record of taking a guy who had fallen apart at Oregon, and they build him up to where he's going to be a first-round selection in the NBA draft. Amari Williams, the big from Drexel, he and Kenan Carlisle, the wing from Stanford, they're both going to visit Little 500 weekend. That is the beauty of the Little 500, is it's a perfect time to have transfers visit because Indiana's going to be beautiful and it's nothing but fun. Little 500 Pacers at Raptors tonight. Pacers really need to win out. They got this game against the Raptors. Then they got a game against Cleveland, who's kind of faltering badly. And then they got a home game against the Hawks to round things out this weekend. Win all three. The worst you're going to do is fifth. The best you can do is third. Third would be way better than fifth. If not third, I'd rather have sixth. But the 76ers are coming, so you can't be cute and try to manage your way into that sixth seed. You can't do it. The women's championship averaged 18.7 million viewers. That will almost certainly be more viewers than the men on TNT and TBS. The last NBA game, by the way, to be viewed by 18 million people, it was Game 6 of the 2019 NBA Finals, and they didn't get to the 18-7 that the Women's College Championship got to. Let's celebrate some birthdays, shall we? Dick Kapp, happy birthday. Jeff Harrington, Jeremy Preston Van Horn, happy birthday. Sounds like a partner in a law firm, doesn't he? Jeremy Preston Van Horn sounds like a character in a Dan Aykroyd movie. Danny Rolden, happy birthday. Keith Rice, Fred Mahler, happy birthday. Bill Carmi Jr., happy birthday. The great Sarah Risley, happy birthday. David Dunn, the great Brian Dorsett, former Chicago Cubs, celebrating a birthday. The great Tease Lasort, who revolutionized Chicagoland radio and is now revolutionizing the tourist industry in her native Aruba. And the great Kevin Lee, bounced from WIBC to NBC, and it's IndyCar coverage. If today's your birthday, you celebrate like hell. If it's not your birthday, you celebrate somebody else that's best done with an honest and specific compliment. The radio show in just a few minutes, 7:07 at WGCLradio.com until 9 o'clock. And then this afternoon, Inside Indiana Sports Now. I can't wait to talk to you then. Congratulations to Purdue. One hell of a season. Nothing but pride Purdue fans should feel today. No disappointment in what happened last night, the level of play last night. Just not good enough to beat UConn. No shame in that. Nobody else was good enough either.